Good afternoon. I'll now call this meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is exactly 1:30 p.m. Thursday, March 30, 2023. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business today. Here is Vice Chair Wilson, Senator Jesse Keel. We have Senator Rob Myers, myself, Chairman James Kaufman, and Senator Tobin is just entering the room at, well, no, I can't call her 1 minute late. We're just right on time. So good job. So also staffing the committee today is our all-star team, Jake Wade and Johanna Crossett from Records, and my Transportation Committee aide, Emma Torkelson. I ask that you follow our committee resolution and silence your cell phones. Oh, that's painful. So anyway, Emma warned me, but I didn't get a chance to pre-read that one. I kind of Ron Burgundy. So anyway, so today we'll be considering Senate Joint Resolution 11, Western Alaska Arctic Oil Spill Response by Senator Keel. This is the first hearing of this resolution in the Senate Transportation Committee, and it is my intention to hear this resolution today, take invited and public testimony, and then look to the will of the committee. So with that, we'll begin the introduction of the joint resolution. Presenting the resolution today is Senator Keel and his staff, Caleb Yavis. So please, if you will, put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vice Chair Wilson and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jesse Keel. I have the privilege of being the senator for District B. Thank you so much for hearing Senate Joint Resolution 11 today. I am joined by the intern in my office to the University of Alaska Ted Stevens Foundation Legislative Internship Program, Caleb Yavis. Mr. Chairman, SJR 11 deals with oil spill prevention and response when it comes to vessels carrying cargoes of oil. This isn't about everybody with a gas tank and a boat. This is about vessels that carry cargo, oil and fuel as their cargo. those vessels, ever since, for many, many years now, have to have both spill prevention and spill response plans approved by the United States Coast Guard. Mr. Chairman, in what the Coast Guard calls the Western Alaska Captain of the Port Zone and the Arctic Captain of the Port Zone, which to oversimplify, run from Kodiak around to Utqiagvik. There's a lot of water to cover, and there are not a lot of maritime infrastructure or response capabilities. Certainly nothing comparable to what's available to vessels in the lower 48. As a result, for many, many years now, the Coast Guard has allowed vessels doing business in those areas to use what they call alternative planning criteria for their emergency response and cleanup plans. Those alternative planning criteria have been a little bit inconsistent. And the area of concern when it comes to that inconsistency really comes down to, in my mind, a couple of key things. What counts as marine salvage and firefighting? What counts as cleanup? Vessels that can tow you out of trouble, that can fight a fire so that you don't end up below the waterline with your fuel above it, are simply different configurations. They carry different equipment. They are differently provisioned than vessels that respond when the oil's in the water. And because prevention vessels and assets aren't cleanup vessels and assets, it's inappropriate when, as has happened a few times, they're allowed to be double counted. That concern has extended up to the United States Congress, which addressed them the process of addressing them in the most recent Coast Guard reauthorization. To talk a little bit more about that and the details of the resolution, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn to my intern, Mr. Yavis.
For the record, Caleb Yavis, Mr. Chairman, the Coast Guard Authorization Act told the Coast Guard to set standards, and to write these standards, they were told to consult with Alaskans specifically. That's where SJR 11 comes in. It calls on the Coast Guard to really consult with the state, the munis, tribes, and organizations. Some specifics in the resolution include vessel monitoring and tracking to prevent oil spills from occurring in the first place. For example, the Marine Exchange here in Juneau tracks vessels. They track if there's any anomalies or discrepancies, if they're slowing down for whatever reason. Marine Exchange, since they're 24/7, they call the vessels and check, see what's wrong, why they slowed down. We also call on the Coast Guard to include an Alaskan wildlife rescue component. And if an oil spill does occur, we also call on the Coast Guard to use Alaska-based equipment. When time is of the essence, it's one thing to bring equipment from the rail belt and another to bring from the lower 48. That is SJR 11's main points. Please feel free to ask any questions. Thank you.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Tobin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and welcome. I'm appreciating this overview. I do have a question, as I am unable to pronounce this word. It is on page 1, line 12, and it is prior to fish species. What are those two words, and what do they mean?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, in answer to Senator Tobin, pelagic and anadromous fish species are two of the major sort of biological categories. Anadromous fish are fish that spawn in freshwaters and run to the ocean, so salmon, sea-run cutthroat, and trout, for example. Pelagic species are entirely saltwater, and I would be hesitant to give you a detailed definition of pelagic species, but I believe that it has an element of being resident as opposed to, for instance, sharks that might cruise the high seas.
Any other questions? Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Keel and Mr. Yabes mentioned trying to bring in equipment from outside. Do we already have equipment stationed in certain hubs along the southern and western coasts? And do we know which hubs would those be if they are?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In answer to Senator Myers, there is spill response equipment stationed in a number of places. generally speaking, in the more remote hubs of Alaska, the outside the rail belt areas, you have small quantities of equipment that can be deployed very quickly. There are larger quantities in the rail belt. I think the best answer could probably come from one of our invited testifiers, Mr. Custard, when he gets the opportunity. He can probably give you more detail.
Senator.
I just wanted to clarify the difference between pelagic and non-pelagic fish. As I am a fond fisherman of those non-pelagic species, or more the bottom rockfish type, and that's why you have the definition of fish and game between pelagic and non-pelagic, and pelagic fish are more on the surface type fish, which would this bill more address because of the oil sheen normally hits on the top. And so it's those pelagic species of marine mammal life that they're trying to address in this bill versus non-pelagic or more of those bottom rockfish that live, 70 to 100 years.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if you've ever closed the car door on your rod tip but when fishing, but I thank Senator Wilson for splicing it.
I was thinking for a minute I'd have to say, this is not resources. What are we doing here, people? So do we have any other questions? Let's go ahead and go to our invited testimony. And thank you. So first from Buddy Custard, the president and CEO of Shadow Network, which sounds nefarious, but I'm sure it's not. Mr. Custard, thanks for being here today, and put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, you sound great.
Okay, thank you. I do get some feedback, but I'll press through it on my end. Good afternoon. My name is Buddy Custard, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Chateau Network. Thank you for the opportunity to provide remarks during this Senate Transportation Committee hearing on Senate Joint Resolution 11, State of Alaska Engagement in U.S. Coast Guard Regulation, Promulgation of Western Alaska Planning Standards. Alaska Chateau Network is a Coast Guard classified oil spill removal organization, a State of Alaska primary response action contractor, and a State of Alaska streamlined plan cleanup contractor for both non-tank vessels and non-crewed tank vessels and barges. We have been operating in Alaska for 30 years, providing oil spill response services to vessels, petroleum storage and transport facilities, and exploration drilling operations in northern, western, central, and interior Alaska on land and at sea. My professional background is I was a Coast Guard officer for 30 years. Upon retirement from the Coast Guard, I served as emergency response superintendent and then operations manager during shale oil's exploration activities for 3 years when they were conducting drilling operations in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. I've been serving in my current capacity with this organization and its predecessor organization for nearly the past 8 years. SJR 11 is an important resolution for the state legislator to voice its strong expectations to the U.S. Coast Guard when they draft new vessel oil spill response federal regulations specific for Western and Central Alaska since the passage of the Dong Yang Coast Guard Authorization Act of 2022. Since the Oil Pollution Act of 1990, frequent federal oil spill pollution regulations for vessel response plans, or subsequent federal oil spill vessel response plans, known as the National Planning Criteria, or NPC, cannot be met in most regions of northern, western, and central Alaska. This is due to the tyranny of distance, lack of infrastructure, remoteness, and harsh operational conditions prone in Alaska. When a vessel owner or operator has determined that their vessels cannot meet NPC, there is a provision in the regulations to submit Alternative Planning Criteria, or APC. The Alaska Chateau Network is also an APC administrator. We developed the first Coast Guard accepted APCs for tank and non-tank vessels operating in Alaska. Unfortunately, there are no planning standards in developing these alternative planning criteria. This has led to inconsistencies and disparities with oil spill response capabilities provided by APC administrators for vessel operators. As an example, one APC administrator has three response hubs in a contract with a local response vendor in Prince William Sound to respond to large non-tank vessel incidents in that region. And another provider has no equipment in that region to support similar types of large vessel incidents, with the understanding they can cascade their equipment to Prince William Sound from other regions when needed. Congressman Dong Yang studied this issue for many years, realizing the lack of standards was problematic for vessel operators and bad for protecting Alaska's precious coastal and marine resources. He wisely sought a law prior to his death requiring the Coast Guard to develop oil spill vessel regulations that considered all the unique planning and operational issues of Alaska, thereby removing the ambiguity, subjective, and inconsistent manner in which APCs are applied in Alaska. Congressman Dong Yang understood the devastating impact a large spill would have on Alaskans. Accordingly, he required in the provisions of the Coast Guard Authorization Act in developing the Western Alaska oil spill planning criteria that the Coast Guard is to consult with the State of Alaska. We are concerned the Coast Guard may not actively engage with the state as intended by law, as demonstrated by their lack of engagement with the State of Alaska during the APC acceptance process over the years. Of concern is the Coast Guard may use a passive, after-the-fact, back-end approach in soliciting for state comments through the Federal Register process on draft regulations they unilaterally develop, versus engaging with the state at the front end during the initial development of the regulations. This resolution affirms the State of Alaska's expectations to participate in and share its expertise as the new regulations are developed at the front end, in particular addressing such requirements as tracking and monitoring vessels 200 nautical miles of Alaska to detect situations that may lead to an incident. An example is when ACN's monitoring center, operated by the Marine Exchange of Alaska, detected a large 772-foot container ship that lost power near Unimak Pass. The notification led to a rapid response and the hiring of tug vessels to render assistance that directly led to preventing over 2 million gallons of oil from spilling on Alaska's coastal environment. Advocating that response resources in Alaska are in Alaska and throughout the region, promoting the use of locally trained responders and vessel operators, developing response resources that can be quickly mobilized and deployed on small aircraft and vessels to reach the remote regions of Alaska, and ensuring wildlife protection and rehabilitation resources are available to protect the wildlife in the impacted area. I encourage you to affirm the state of Alaska's commitment to this important consultation process in the development of these new federal regulations that impacts Alaska. Again, thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony on Senate Joint Resolution 11. I welcome your questions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Custer. Do we have any questions from the committee? Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just repeat my question previously. Mr. Custer, I'm just curious, where do we have equipment pre-positioned if we have hubs already set up, and which particular towns those are?
Senator, through the chair, equipment resources, there are some spread out. I can speak for my organization. I have 17 response hubs spread out from Utqiagvik, Adak, Dutch Harbor, Dillingham, Kevalina, King Cove, Anchorage, Homer, Nikiski, Seward, the Valdez, Whittier, Cordova, and I know I'm missing a couple here and there. So my organization has response hubs, another 17 in total. Another APC provider just has 4 response hubs that we are aware of. Okay, the state of Alaska has caches of response equipment staged throughout the state, as well as the Coast Guard has caches of equipment staged throughout the state. But the state, the government, state and federal, are not Oilspill responders. They don't have responders. They just have some equipment that could possibly be used by professionals such as my organization. So that's what we have for the equipment.
All right. Well, thank you.
I have a clarifying question, Mr. Chair. Mr. Custer, is your equipment that you have, because I've seen the spill response equipment stationed out in King Cove in a Connex, is that in partnership with the state of Alaska that your organization works with? Or is that a separate Connex situation?
Senator, through the chair, that equipment that we have in King Cove is in a Connex box, and that is my equipment. It's not in partnership with the state of Alaska. The state of Alaska is aware we have that equipment out there, but that is equipment that I am responsible to maintain.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Mr. Custer, we appreciate your testimony and the response to questions. We're going to now go to Mr. Jim Butler, attorney with the Incident Response Group. Mr. Butler, if you're there, please unmute yourself. If you can, we may need to do it from here. There we go. It looks like you're unmuted. Put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Butler. You mentioned I do a lot of consulting work on behalf of entities involved in response planning and actual response operations, as well as have a pretty extensive legal background in these matters. I'm hailing to you today from a rainy, snowy Kenai, so I feel like I'm almost in Juneau. I appreciate the committee's time. Just very briefly, I'd just like to commend the committee and the sponsor for recognizing the important role that the state of Alaska plays to be at the table on promulgating what we anticipate are going to be a real next generation step forward on oil spill response planning for a variety of types of marine operations in Western Alaska. Over the years, the particularly with the Coast Guard regulations, as I'm sure Mr. Custard mentioned, the rules that were set up on a national cookie cutter basis that work in Houston, LA Long Beach, Puget Sound, Philadelphia, just simply don't work in ADAC, NOM, UTIAVIC. And over the years, industry has tried to fill that gap with programs that have attempted to invest in building out capacity, as well as undertake self-imposed measures to reduce the risk of oil spills. Over time, that process became more cumbersome as federal law and federal regulations expanded to capture more vessels in that program. Originally, when we first started dealing with these Open 90 issues in Western Alaska, we had four or five barge companies. And now, as I'm sure Mr. Custard mentioned, we have 500-600 companies from around the world that are now in these programs. And Don Young, Representative Young, was very interested in understanding the implication of that for making sure Alaska was prepared to deal with the spill out in these remote locations. And I really, as I'm sure many of you who remember Representative Young, he was pretty candid when it came to such matters. And he believed that the best way to ensure long-term predictability for Alaskans and industry that makes the investment and response resources was to have a set of clear, concise regulations so that everybody, not only in Alaska, but from around the world who transit Alaska waters, have a clear understanding of what the expectation is. And that's what these new regulations are intended to do. The concern, I think, just at least in my experience, is that when you work with federal agencies promulgating regulations, their view of consultation in many cases might be different than those of the state or local interest groups. And Representative Young made clear in the Coast Guard bill that he sponsored for Western Alaska, he wanted an active consultation role, particularly for the state of Alaska. He recognized and understood that all oil spills tend to end up on Alaska's beaches. And that was one of his primary concerns. So what we are hoping is that the state of Alaska joins in his interest and his desire to make sure that Alaskans are actively engaged, that the state of Alaska's interest, not just the state of Alaska, Department of Environmental Conservation, but the other agencies that have expertise, Fish and Game, DNR, and others, they all get a chance to be at the table to make sure that when we have the opportunity to really put some form boards, if you will, around the foundation of an oil spill system in Western Alaska, that we do it with a really good understanding of the needs and concerns of Alaskans. This resolution, I think, makes it clear for not only the Coast Guard and the Alaska delegation in Washington, D.C., but also to Alaskans that the legislature intends to be an active participant. I very much appreciate the sponsor and the sponsor staff for looking at this. It's going to be a long path, and I hope that by moving this resolution forward, the state of Alaska will be in a position to, over time, continue to get up briefs on the progress so that you can make sure that, I don't want to say bureaucrats, I want to say committed agency individuals in foreign lands such as Washington, D.C. and other places are actually looking after the interests of Alaskans. So I appreciate that and would be available for questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Butler. Do we have any questions from the committee? None noted. So thank you for your testimony. And now I will now open public testimony. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Not seeing anyone. Is there anyone in LIO or on the phone that would like to testify? And it looks like we have a Mr. Todd Paxton. And Mr. Paxton, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Yeah, please, if you would, put yourself on the record, and we'll go for about 3 minutes with your testimony.
All right. So for the record, my name is Todd Paxton. I live and work here in Ekiski, Alaska. While I'm here giving public testimony today representing myself, in full disclosure, I am the general manager for Cook Inlet Spill Prevention Response Incorporated, also known as CISPRI, which is an oil spill removal organization and primary response action contractor doing business here in the Kenai Peninsula and the waters of Cook Inlet, surrounding Kodiak, Resurrection Bay, and the exclusive economic zone as defined by the United States Captain or Coast Guard Captain of the Port, Sector Anchorage. I'm here to provide comment today on Senate Joint Resolution number 11. On its face, it's a good read, and to the uninformed, it might seem like a great idea. I'm here to tell you that reading between the lines, this resolution is nothing but the result of a lobby effort to strengthen the position of one of the two Southwest Alaska Alternative Planning Criteria administrators, all in an effort to reduce capability of one of the APC administrators to the benefit of the other administrator. The somewhat recent past has shown that competition for the Southwest Alaska APC market has been a very positive thing in that it keeps compliance costs down as a function of market competition and gives the Great Circle Route shippers more options. Please realize my comments today are just the very tip of the large iceberg that is Alaska or Southwest Alaska Alternative Planning Criteria discussion. And I certainly won't have time to get too far into the subject given the time constraints this committee adheres to. With that said, please don't hesitate to contact me anytime to discuss further. Thank you for the opportunity today.
Thank you. Before you go, are there any questions from the committee? No? All right. Well, thank you for your testimony today. And so seeing no other folks online and no one else in the room, so we'll come back in and so we could brief at ease. So back in, and so I want to thank anyone. So back on the record, I would like to entertain a motion to move this resolution from the committee. Vice Chair Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Joint Resolution 11, version 33LS0526/D from committee, B as in Bravo, from committee with attached individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note.
Seeing no objections, excuse me. So seeing none, the committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 11, version B, moves out of committee. We'll now take a brief at ease to sign paperwork. So we're back on the record. Any final questions, comments from the committee members? None noted. So in closing, thank you, committee members, for being here and for your attention today. Thank you to the testifiers as well as the committee and LIO support staff who have helped today's committee meeting run smoothly. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be next Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, when we will be holding a confirmation hearing for an appointee to the Board of Marine Pilots. Any final comments? None noted. Thank you. We're gaveled out at 2:01 p.m.